Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem. We left off in daf Kuf Lamed Tesam Beis. The Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Tesam Beis was discussing pouring water over wine dregs and a chashash that it might be borer, straining wine over a cloth through a palm basket, also a chashash that it might be borer. So today we're going to discuss various inyanim relating to preparing food and begadim and inyanim of Derech Eretz. We're going to have a discussion about what the best way to make mustard and some other foods, avoiding issues of lisha and of borer and other isurim of Shabbos. We're going to get into soaking and using chiltis, a type of herb that people would drink for therapeutic reasons, for medication. The Gemara goes on to discuss a lot of halachas relating to freshly laundered clothing, whether you can rub it to soften it on Shabbos, whether it might be mukta. We go on to discuss a number of issues of Derech Eretz. Rav Chisda used to advise for Talmidei Chachamim, as well as a lot of advice that he offered his daughters on how to remain attractive to their husbands, advice for Talmidei Chachamim about how to get a good deal in the market and about how to eat properly. And then the Mishnah at the end of the daf is going to speak about sweeping out a feeding trough and moving food both from one end to the other end of the trough and from the front of one animal to in front of another animal. So we left off discussing some of the lines in the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we are holding at probably B'Kfifa Mitzvahs is my guess. I think that's what we're up to. B'Kfifa Mitzvahs, about 5 lines before the end of the page, 6 lines. U'B'Kfifa Mitzvahs. So the Mishnah had said that we constrain wine through a cloth or through a palm basket. Both of those are okay on Shabbos. Amar B'Chia Barashi, Amar Rav, U'B'Vad Shalei Agbiya Mikarki Iso Shalkli Tefach. So he says you could use the cloth if it pours evenly through the entire cloth, but he says that you can use the basket, but the basket cannot be more than a tefach above the kli that the wine is draining into, meaning the basket you're using is your strainer, so it's hovering over a kli. It can't be more than a tefach above the kli that the wine is draining into, since that will be a violation of making an ohel. Amar Rav, Hai Parvanka, the Apalge Dukuva Shari. If you have a rag, it can cover half of the barrel, and that's okay. Akule kuba aser, but to take a rag and throw it over the entire barrel, that's going to be aser. What's the problem? Says Rashi, apalga de kuba shari, de lav ohalahavi. Because that's not an ohel when it's only apalga de kuba, but when it's covering the entire barrel, then it's considered that you're making an ohel. The Rashba doesn't like this understanding of the Gemara because he has trouble saying that taking a lid and putting it on a kli is making an ohel. You're taking a rag and you're throwing it over a kli. That's a violation of making an ohel. So the Rashba says this is not about ohel, this is about straining. It's about using it as a strainer. So you're taking a rag and it looks like you're setting up a strainer when you throw a rag over a kli. But if you throw it over only half of the kli, then it does not look like you're making a strainer on Shabbos. So that's how the Rashba understands. But within Shitas Rashi, that it's an issue of ohel, the Prima Gadim and Mishpat Zav, Simon Shintas Vav, Sivkan Yeralf explains that even though there's a tefach, when you only put it over palga de kuva, when you only put it over half of the kli, even though it may be a tefach of airspace beneath the rag, and therefore you would think that should still be a problem of oel, he says, no, whenever it's megula b'miktsas, whenever it's partially uncovered, it doesn't help to do anything anyway. It doesn't help to protect whatever's underneath it, because it's still leaving the contents of the kli exposed. And therefore it's completely ineffective as an oel, and that's why it would not be considered an oel at all. The Shor Mitzvah Balacha says, from here, yesh ladun ba'agolos yeladim. Maybe we should apply this to what we were discussing the other day, to baby carriages, when you move the awning over the baby carriage. It says, yesh ladun gag lahagin al yelim ne'achamo ag shamim, dinog lamatcho b'shabbos. Our minig is that we use them on Shabbos. Damahani haigag lahagin alav. He says, if the whole issue is, does it work? Is it effective? Is it, even if it's only covering halfway, but it's if the Prima Gadim explains Shittas Rashi, the whole issue is whether it effectively helps, well then this does help. They wouldn't make it if it didn't help. So maybe that would be an issue. So he points out, the Chazanish says it's not an issue at all. Chazanish and Simon and Bey, Sivkat and Vav, says that the Svara is that it's just like opening and closing a door on Shabbos. That it's that it's kavua ba'agala, it's made to always be put back and forth, so it's just like a door and its hinges and a kisei traskel that we discussed earlier, that's made to always be done and undone in that way, and therefore it's not considered a malacha chashuva of any sort. Amar Rav Papa, four lines from the bottom, lo nahadik inish tzinyasa bepume dekuzni dechavisa mishum demechzi kemishameris. A person shouldn't attach straw to the opening of a barrel, because that's going to look like he's setting up a strainer. Rav Papa shafu shichra mimana lamana. In Rav Papa's house, they used to separate beer from its dregs by slowly pouring the beer from one kli to another, hoping to clear out all the dregs from the beer. Amar le Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina ha'ika nitzotos. Rav Acha midifta says to Ravina, but wait a second, that's going to be a problem. The last few drops are going to be a problem, because you're going to let them drip from the dregs, and that's going to be a real borer issue when you're taking out those last couple of drops from the dregs. Says nitzotos be Rav Papa lo chashivi. Now the last few drops weren't important enough for Rav Papa to actually sort from the dregs. Say no chinami, it would be a problem if he would do it, but he wouldn't do that. The last few drops he would just leave there. He wouldn't try to get it down to the last drop to make sure that it gets separated properly. The Mishnah said you could put an egg on a strainer, on a mesanenes shel chardel, on a mustard strainer on Shabbos. So Tani Yaakov Karcha Lefi She'ein Osin Osa Ela L'Gavin. Why is it mutter? Isn't this a violation of Bora? You're straining on Shabbos. No, you're only doing it L'Gavin. You're only doing it to improve the color. As Rashi says, "Lemarish hachelmon yafel legavin v'lo hachelbon hilchach idi v'idi ochel hu ve'in kambreres psolus me'ochel." So it's all ochel. It's not, you're not pulling out psolus from ochel. It all has the status of ochel. You're just doing it to give it a nicer look, to give it a nicer color to it. Itmar. Chardel shaloshim erev Shabbos. If you have mustard that's already been kneaded on erev Shabbos, lemachar amar Rav memachol bekli avalo biyad. So the next day, Rav says you can continue the kneading process by rubbing it with a kli, but not biyad. Meaning, apparently, using a kli is a shinui, but you can't do it biyad because that's going to really do the job well. Amar le Shmuel biyad. Shmuel says, who would use their hand? Atu kol yomim machle biyad machol chamorim hu. Machol chamorim hu? Or is it like a machol chamorim that you would use your hands to knead this? No, you would always use a kli. So don't tell me that it's a shinoi to use a kli and that using a yad is going to be also, because that's the normal way, but using a kli is going to be mutter because that's a shinoi. Elam Shmuel memachol biyad veino memachol bekli. It's just the opposite, Shmuel says, that it can be mixed by hand, because that, mixing it by hand, is an unusual way to mix it. That's the shinoi. You cannot use a kli because that's the normal way to mix it. Itmar Rav Lazar Amar Echad Zev Echad Zev Aser. Third approach, Rav Lazar says, it's Aser Dubi Yad, and it's Aser Dubi Kli. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Echad Zev Echad Zev Mutter. Rabbi Yochanan, fourth Shita, it's Aser to do, it's Mutter to do both Biyad and Bekli. It's Mutter either way, both Biyad and Bekli. Now, Abai V'Rava Dami Tarvayu, Ein Alach Rabbi Yochanan. Abai and Rava both said that the Alach is not like Rabbi Yochanan. Come Rabbi Yochanan b'shitasi Rabbi Lazar. Now they start jumping around positions. So Rabbi Yochanan then followed the Shita of Rabbi Lazar. He changed his mind, and he decided that instead of it both being mutter, both Biyad and Bekli being mutter, he decided both Biyad and Bekli is Aser. Come Rabbi Lazar b'shitasi de Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar, who originally held that both ways it's Aser, then changed his mind to go like Shmuel, that you're allowed to do it Biyad, you're just not allowed to do it Bekli. So Abai V'Rava, Damri Tarvayu, Alach Rabbi Yochanan. Abai V'Rava say at the end of the day that the Alach follows Rabbi Yochanan. Great, now I'm thoroughly confused. Which Rabbi Yochanan? We just said everyone jumped around from one Shita to the other. So says Rashi, the Asar. The Rabbi Yochanan Shita that said that it's Asar. So that meaning Rabbi Yochanan after he changed his mind, after he was come b'shitase to Rabbi Lazar, after he followed the Shita of Rabbi Lazar to say that it's Asar. Imed Abaye Avdele Velo Achal. Abaye's adopted mother, again, whenever we have Imed Abaye, it's never really his mother, because Abaye didn't have a mother. His parents died when he was born, so he had an adopted mother. Rabbi Bar Nachmeni had adopted him, and he had an adopted mother who he learned a lot from, and he would always quote. So the adopted mother of Abaye made for him this mustard, and he wouldn't eat from it. The bitter to Zeira Avdi Lel Rav Chia Barashi Velo Achal. The wife of Zeira made it for Rav Chia Barashi, and again he wouldn't eat from it. So she said to him, meaning after she made this and he wouldn't eat from it, so she said, I used to make it for your Rebbe, for Ze'iri, my husband, and he ate from it. You're going to be so frum, you're going to want to decide that you're going to be more machmir. You're not going to eat from it, meaning that was the minhag of your Rebbe. You should follow his practice. Amar Rava Bar Shava, have a ki'im lekamei de Ravina, ubachshi le b'shufsa de tumah va'achal. He says that I was once in front of Ravina and I was stirring it for him with a stalk of garlic, and he did eat from it. Amar Rav Zutra, less hilchsa k'kol hanishmeitza. So at the end of the day, Rav Zutra says the halacha is not like all of these different shitos. Eliki hadi itmar chardo shaloshu meir of Shabbos lemachar memachu bein biad bein bekli, that rather we hold that it's all mutter, that if you had needed it before Shabbos, the next day you're allowed to continue adding to the mixture, but you're allowed to continue mixing it together bein biad bein bekli, both with your hand and with a kli, v'nosin l'tocha d'vash, and you're even allowed to add honey to the mixture, v'lo yitrof el ma'ariv. The only thing you need to be careful is, don't beat the mixture, meaning don't really pound it well when mixing it, just stir it, and stirring it is completely permissible. That's no problem. So now the Gemara discusses, what about when you make cress, and what about when you make garlic? So it's really the same discussion we're going to have over again. Similar rules, similar discussions about, but up until now we've been talking about mustard, now we're going to talk about other foods. So shechlayim sheshachan erev Shabbos, if cress was ground up before Shabbos, l'machar nosin l'tochan shemen v'chametz u'mamshuk l'tochan amisa. So the next day on Shabbos, you're allowed to put oil and vinegar in it, and amisa you can put in it, whatever that Rashi said. We'll see in a second that it's mint, but Rashi over here says amisa minta bilaaz v'lo yitrof elema ariv. And again, don't beat it, just mix it normally. Shum shariskum erev Shabbos, if you have garlic that was ground up on erev Shabbos, l'machar nosin l'tocho pulugrisin, the next day you could put in beans and crushed beans into it, v'lo yishchok elema ariv. And again, don't crush it, but mix it in. U'mamshechas amisa l'tocho, you can put a misa into it. My amisa, what's a misa? Ninya, it is mint. Rashi says that it's what we call mint. Amar Abaye, Shema Mina, Hai Ninya Ma'aliyah L'Tachli. Abaye says, ooh, that was a good etza I just got, that if I want to make a good cress recipe, that mint is going to be very good for it, because otherwise, why would you be telling me that I could put mint? We have these old traditions about what you're allowed to put in the food, what you're not allowed to put in the food. Presumably, these are things you would want to put in the food. So if you're telling me about whether I'm allowed to put mint in it or not, at least I now know how to make cress, so it's a good recipe. So V'osna Numlin B'Shabbos, and the Mishnah had said that we can make a drink of anumlin on Shabbos. So Tan Rabban, osin anumlin b'Shabbos, vein osin aluntis. We can make anumlin, but not aluntis. Ve'ezohi anumlin, ve'ezohi aluntis. What are these things? Anumlin, yayin udvash upilpulin. Anumlin is made with wine and honey and peppers. Aluntis, yayin yashan, is made with aged wine. Umayim tzlulin, with clear water. Va'parsimon da'avdi l'bei mesatva l'meikar. And a parsimon, and they would use it by the bathhouse in order to cool people off by the bathhouse. A parsimon is a balsam oil or something. So they would use that as a medication to cool the body off after the bathhouse. So Amar Rav Yosef, Zimna Chada Alis Basar Marukva Lebei Bani, says, one time I followed Marukva into the bathhouse, Kinafki, when we came out, Asai Ashki and Chamra Chad Kasa. So I gave him to drink I drank a one cup of wine, V'chashi mi beinasa derashi v'atufa dekari, meaning I drank one cup of this wine mixture, this therapeutic wine mixture that you're supposed to have after the bathhouse, and he said that that I was able to feel it from the hairs on my head all the way down to my toenails, meaning it had such a profound effect on my body that I felt like every last inch of me was being affected by this drink. And had I had another cup of it to drink, I'd be concerned that it's going to take away my zuchus of Olam Haba. I'd be worried that it's going to take away my zuchuyos of Olam Haba. That's what his concern was. So it sounds like he was saying that he enjoyed it very much, that he doesn't want to get so much hana in Olam Hazeh that it's going to take away his zuchus of Olam Haba. Rashi says it's not what he means. Minakalim is chuyos, says Rashi, imayisi nitzol mimenu shlo amos, that this thing should should have killed me. If I would have survived this second cup, that would have been a miracle. That when God does a miracle for you, it means that he's taking away. So he's using up your zechuyos to do miracles like that for you. So he's saying that, not that I enjoyed it so much, but that this thing should have killed me. Says the Gemara that Rav Yosef has this remark about the tremendous cooling effect of the. It didn't have that mark. It didn't have that effect on Marukva. Marukva would drink it every day. It didn't do anything for him. So it didn't do anything so overwhelming for him. Obviously, it did something if he drank it, but it wasn't such a big deal. Says Gemara, Shani Marukva didashpei. The Marukva was used to it, and when a person is used to something, it has less of an effect. That's what we were discussing yesterday with the wine with Yosef's brothers. How do we know that they didn't drink the whole time? Because they got drunk. Why in the world would they get drunk, says the Ksav Sofer? Because it must be that they weren't used to drinking anymore. Someone, my uncle Jack Blumenkopf from Detroit, emailed me yesterday the question we left unanswered yesterday. Why didn't the brothers drink for all those years? Why is it if they didn't drink for all those years, why did they drink now? They still didn't know that it was Yosef. So he said, quoted my Chavrusa, Rabbi Rosner, had given the Teretz, that throughout all that time, the brothers were somewhat disappointed in themselves that they weren't able to overcome their Yetzer Hara, that they were so jealous of Yosef, what they had done to him. Now they have another opportunity to be jealous of a brother, because Binyamin is being treated unfairly in a positive way, and nevertheless, they didn't allow their feelings of jealousy to get the best of them. So that was worthy of celebration. That was worthy of drinking, to be overcome one midah, like Rav Yisrael Salanter says, person overcomes one midah raz, more difficult than learning all of Shas. So that was worthy of, learning all of Shas is worthy of a siyum and a celebration with 100,000 people. So overcoming one midah is worthy of an even greater celebration. It's worthy of drinking the wine after all that time. Okay, I don't know if that's Pashup Shah, but it's a nice message either way. So says the Gemara now further, the Mishnah, new Mishnah, Ein Sharenes HaChiltis B'Poshrin. The Mishnah says a person cannot soak chiltis in warm water. Says Rashi, what is this? V'Sharenos B'Poshrin V'Shosnos Sanamayim L'Refuah. This was something that they would use for refuah. It was a medicine. Avon Losin L'Toch HaChometz, but you're allowed to put it into vinegar. V'Ein Sholin Es HaKarshinin. You're not allowed to make the animal food float, which means that you would put water in the animal food so that it would float up to take out the dirt from the food. It was a way of removing the dirt from the food. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. He says, well, wait a second, are you allowed to wash off an apple? Meaning, isn't that the same thing? If you have dirt in the food and you're trying to wash it off, so why should this be any better than, or why should this be any worse than washing off an apple? We say that this is no good. So Moshe says, yeah, you're allowed to wash off an apple because an apple doesn't really have dirt on it. It's just that, you know, your mother always told you have to wash off an apple, so you wash off an apple. But if we're talking about things that actually had dirt on it. Plus, it says washing off may be different than soaking it. Okay. Velo shafno son, and we're not allowed to scrub them. Avol nosin l'tocha kvara o l'tocha kalkala. But you could put it into the sieve or into the basket. Ein kovrin es hateven b'kvara. We don't sift straw through a sieve. Lo yitnenu al gabe makom gavoa b'shil shir amotz. Nor do we put it in a very high area so that the shaft will be removed. Avol notel hu b'kvara v'nosin l'tocha ivo. But we take it in a sieve and put it into a feeding trough. We take it from the sieve and put it into a feeding trough. So says Rashi, and the point is, Vafel Pisha Motznafel Me'elav, even though the chef is going to fall off on its own, because that's a Davar Shein Miskavin. And we assume like Rabbi Shimon that this Mishnah assumes like Rabbi Shimon that a Davar Shein Miskavin is Mutter. So Yibayilhu, Sharamai. So we say, not allowed to soak Chiltus. And if you did, so what's the halacha? Meaning, what's the halacha? You did something bad. You do tshuva. No, we want to know, is this Nisr Daraisa or is it a Nisr Darabanan? So Tirgum Ravadan Asha Kamed Rav Yosef, Shara Chayiv Chatas. You Chayiv Chatas Isr Daraisa. Amle Abaye El Meata Shara Umtsu B'maya Hachin Amidim Chayiv. So wait a second, soaking meat in water also you're going to be Chayiv? What would the difference be? Elam Rabbi Midrabanan Shalyasa Gederach Shosu B'chol. No, it's only Din Darabanan because it's like Uvda D'chol. It's doing the same activities that a person would normally do during the weekday. So by me, Amine Rabbi Yochanan me Rabbi Yanai mal lishos esachalosis bitzoni. Can a person soak this chilsis in cold water? The Mishnah singled out warm water, but what about cold water? Amalei aser, he said it's aser. Va'anon t'nan ein chornes chilsis beposhrin. Aye, but the Mishnah says only warm water, so why would you say that it's aser in cold water also? So he says ha'bitzonin motor, implying that tzonin is motor. So he says amalei imkein ma'ben livalach. If you're not going to trust my interpretations and you're just going to question everything I say, so then what's the difference between me and you? Meaning, if as Rashi says, "Lo yadan al frushi masnisin feminach ma'bein livalach." If you're assuming that I don't have a better read on the Mishnah than you do, so what did you bother asking me for? I have a better read on the Mishnah. Don't worry, masnisin yichidaihi. The Mishnah is a das yachid, but really we paskin that you're not even allowed to use cold water. Say, no, Kinami, the Mishnah says you are allowed to use cold water, but you came to ask me a shayla because you trusted my answer for the shayla. It's a bit of an unusual exchange. Now that he sounds like he's getting all offended that the Talmud is asking, it's a Talmud's job. He's supposed to ask questions, but how does this fit with the Mishnah? So there is a tshuva in the Chavis Yair, in some Kufnan Beis, where the Chavis Yair tries to go through every insult in Shas and tell you why it's not really an insult. Where every single time someone says something harsh to somebody else, Chas v'shalom, and us tvarin, the Chazal would never speak this way, they wouldn't do. So he discusses this also. He says, this is not Divrei Gaiva, this is not Ram Levavo, this is not anything, like he's not being Mevaza, somebody else. He says, this is the way a Rebbe is supposed to talk to the Talmud, to remind the Talmud that he needs to be put in his place, that he doesn't always know everything, that Talmud sometimes, I was once talking to a high school Rebbe, who's a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, a 12th grade Rebbe, phenomenal Talmud Chacham, and he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than 95% of the Beis Medrash Rebbeim, and he was telling me that it's much better to teach high school shir, because 12th grade shir, because the boys are already old enough to be learning, and they're young enough to not think that they don't need you anymore, to not think that they don't need a Rebbe anymore. Once they're a year or two past that, what do they need? They know everything, right? So it's okay for a Rebbe sometimes to put a Talmud in this place to let him know that he doesn't know as much as he thinks he knows. So that's how the Chavis Yair suggested. Okay. So says Umar, D'tanya, ain't sure in this achiltus, lo b'cham v'lo b'tzon. We have a brisa that goes against this Mishnah and says that you're not allowed to soak it in warm water or cold water. Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'cham and asr b'tzon in mutter. Rabbi Yossi says, in warm water it's asr, in cold water it's mutter. L'may avdilei, so what would they use this for? L'yukra deliba, for chest pains. If a person was suffering from chest pains, this would help. Rav Achabar Yosef, chash b'yukra deliba. Rav Achabar Yosef actually had chest pains. Also, k'med marukva, he came to marukva. Amalei, zil shasi. He said, go drink three weights of this chiltas in 3 days. Azul, I mean, he gave him a three-day dosage. So Azul, one dose each day. So Azul Ishti, he went and he drank it. Chamsha b'Shabbos on Thursday, that was the first day after he got the prescription. So he drank it on Thursday. Umali Shabbos, and on Friday. And then he realized, uh-oh, next day is Shabbos. You're not supposed to take medicine on Shabbos. But he's on a three-day regimen. So what do you do? So the tzafra azal shal be midrash. The next morning he went to the base medrash. So amalei tana de be ravada. Vamalei tana de be mar bar ravada. Shos adam kavo kavayim veinu choshesh. That don't worry. You could have this. You don't have to worry about it. You could drink kavo kavayim and you don't have to worry about anything. Amalei lishos lo kavim bayli. He says, now I wasn't worried about whether I'm allowed to drink it. I was going to drink it. Ki kavim bayli lishos mai. Problem is I forgot to make it before Shabbos, so I hadn't soaked it. Am I allowed to make it on Shabbos? So amalei b'chir bar. He says, I had the similar shayla. I had the same story, and I went to ask Ravad Barava, and he didn't know the answer. So I saw the Rafuna, and so then I went to ask Rafuna. And he told me that Rav Paskin, that you could soak it in cold water and leave it out in the sun, and then you're allowed to have. Then you could have it. Meaning that's the way that you should make it on Shabbos, and that's no problem. So why do you have to tell him that Rav Ad Barava didn't know? Meaning, he just say, I got the answer. I asked the Shaila, and so-and-so answered. Maybe make him feel better that he didn't know the answer. Don't worry, you're not the only one that doesn't know the answer. But there's a trick that Rav has of how to do it. So, command the Shari, are we assuming that we're going like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi that holds that it's mutter? Meaning, the when Rav says to do this thing with soaking in the cold water and putting in the sun, is he trying to say like Rabbi Yossi that it's mutter in cold water, but according to the Rav Rabbanon, it would be asur to make this on Shabbos. Meaning, according to the Tan of our Mishnah, it would be asur to make it on Shabbos. Says Gemara, no, afilim on the asur. Even if you assume like the Shita that you're not allowed to use cold water, hani mili hecha delishti klal. That's only if you haven't drunk from it before. Avalach kivin dishti chamsho mali shabata ilo shasu b'shabbos mistakein. But over here, since you already started the regiment, you already started on Thursday and on Friday. So if you don't continue it on Shabbos, so then we're worried that's going to cause a sakana. So we don't want there to be a sakana. Chiddush Aharon points out that mistaken over here is lav dafka, because if it was mistaken, there's no shayla. If it's an issue of sakana, so there's no shayla. How do I make it? Can I make it? Just do whatever you need to do. You have to live. If it was really a sakana, no, it means mitzayir machmas kol yom. It's a cholish ein bo sakana. That's what that's how the Ran explains. It says the Shor Mitzvah Balacha mikan yir makro l'mashakasav marshak b'sefer achayim. The Margula Bapumadin Shilomar Dim Kvar Hisra Lasok Burfus Kodama Shabbos Mutalo Gamba Shabbos. Everyone knows that if you started an antibiotic that's a 10-day thing of antibiotics, that you're allowed to continue to take it on Shabbos if you already started it before Shabbos. Where in the world does that come from? All of a sudden, just because you started taking medicine before Shabbos, you're allowed to take the medicine on Shabbos? He says, maybe it's based on this Gemara, that even though it's not Sakana, but if it's something apparently because, the Gemara says, because he started Thursday and Friday, he's allowed to continue to take it on Shabbos. The Das Torah, the Marsham says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Our Gemara says it's only because it was mistaken. So if you understand, like the Chiddush Aharon, so then it doesn't have to be mistaken. It could even be Chala Shein Bo Sakana. If the person is ill, he's allowed to continue taking it on Shabbos. So good. Says the Gemara Vayter. Mistamach va'azel Rav Acha Bar Yosef Akasved Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Bar Achte. So Rav Acha Bar Yosef was leaning on the shoulders of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak for support, his nephew. So he said, when we get into Rav Safra, by Rav Safra, I want you to help me, bring me in, because I'm an old man, I need help going in. When they got there, he helped them go in. He said, are you allowed to rub a linen shirt on Shabbos? What's the issue? Why would someone rub it? Is it just to soften it, which there's nothing wrong with that? Or is it that you're trying to make it brighter? And maybe that would be usher when you're trying to, it's a libun, when you're trying to make it brighter. So you're just trying to soften it, and that's completely fine. That's not an issue at all. What about the fact that you can't deny the effect of libun? It is going to get brighter also, even though your kavana may only be to soften it, but if it's going to get brighter, so says Rashi, yeah, inachinami, that's going to happen. Nevertheless, it's still mutter. So why? Why is that mutter? Maybe this is a raya that a psik resha b'drabbanon is mutter. That we're dealing with a din drabbanon. This is not real libun. This is not real malabain. This is some drabbanon version of it, and it's only done b'derech psik resha. So maybe there's a raya for those shittos that a psik resha and a drabbanon is mutter. So he said, well, you went in to ask the shayla about a shirt. Why didn't you ask about a kerchief, about a handkerchief or something that you're going to use? So sudra lo kami bayli. He said, now that I didn't have a shayla about. Because I already asked that from Rafuna once. Rafuna told me I'm not allowed to do it with the sudra. So I wanted to know, can I do it with the shirt? So the tifshal le lamar mi sudra. Why would you assume a shirt is different than a sudra? Meaning you already got your answer that a sudra is asir. And you were right that a shirt is different, because you got your answer now that a shirt is mutter, but what would have given you the havamina to even ask the question to assume that one is different from the other? He says, because by the sudar, it looks like you're being molid chivra. Over here, it doesn't look like you're trying to make it brighter. Meaning, apparently, the people are makpid about the kerchief, the brightness of the kerchief, much more than they are about the shirt. The shirt was worn under a jacket. The kerchief was worn out and was like a way to change the whole look of the outfit, so that way they would always want it to look nice and bright. Amrav Chista, Haikis Nisa, if you have a shirt, Nishalfu ledida mikanya shari, and you want to remove it from the rod that it's hanging on, that's mutter. But kanya mimena asir, to remove the rod from the shirt, that's going to be asir. You have to be careful how you do it. You have to remove it in the way where you take it off of the rod, sort of like a hanger, but a hanger is a mutter, as opposed to taking the hanger from the rod. Amravavi imkalu kivai. And if vim klei kivayi, rather vim klei kivayi hu mutter. If it's a weaver's kli, then it's mutter that you're removing it from. Amar Rav Chista, hay kishto diarka. If you have a bunch of herbs, ichazi lemachal behema shoyle tutule. If it's right to be fed to animals, then you're allowed to be metaltalit on Shabbos. Vilo asur. Otherwise, you're not allowed to be metaltalit on Shabbos. By the way, the rod thing, I didn't mention it, the rod, it's a muksa issue. I mean, the question is, are those poles considered to be muksa? So you can move the clothing from the poles, because then you're taking the clothing, you're not being metalta the poles. Moving the poles from the clothing is muksa, unless they're klei kavai. Klei kavai are not muksa. So along those lines, we talk about other things that relate to muksa. So we continue with muksa-related issues. So if you have a bunch of herbs, so if it's roi from machal behema, so then it's shayla tutule. It's not muksa. You're allowed to be metalta it. If it's not roi l'machal behema, then it's also tutule. Then you're not allowed to be metalta. It's muksa. Amr b'chir barashi amr rav. Hay talya debisra. If you have a string of raw meat, shorli tiltulei, then it's mutter to move it. It's not considered to be muksa. The kavri aser. But if it's fish that you have, then it's going to have raw fish. Then it's going to be aser. Amr rav katina. Ha'omid be'emtza amita kilu omid b'kresa shel isha. If someone stands in the middle of a bed, it's meaning, says Rashi, she'ish ve'ishto regilim balishan, a bed that a man and woman sleep on together, so it's as if you're standing right over the belly of the woman, meaning it's considered entirely inappropriate. But v'lav milsi, that's not really correct. V'am rav chista, barbe rav, the zavin yarka, Rav Chista now starts giving advice. He says, a barbe rav who wants to buy vegetables, the best way to go shopping for vegetables is Lisbon Aricha Akisha Kikisha Vorcha Mimela. You should always buy the longest vegetables, because when they bunch up vegetables, they bunch them up when you could tell us how they bunch up vegetables when they sell vegetables. When they bunch up vegetables, they always bunch them up the same thickness. And some of them are a little bit longer, some of them are a little bit shorter. So if you always go for the longer ones, you're always going to get more, because they don't make the bundles less thick just because they have longer ones there. I guess they didn't weigh them. Vam Rav Chista, Barbe Rav Dezavin Kanya, Lizvin Aricha. Again, a Barbe Rav that wants to buy reeds, also always go for the longer ones, because the bunches are always the same. Tuna ki tuna. Vam Rav Chista, Barbe Rav de la Nefisha Le Rifta. If you have a Barbe Rav who doesn't have so much bread, lo lechel yarka mishum de garir. He shouldn't eat too much vegetables, because when you eat vegetables, it wets your appetite. So he's going to wet his appetite, and he's going to have nothing to eat. So that's not a good idea. You don't want to have too many appetizers if you don't have that much to eat. Vam Rav Chista, ano lo ba aniyus yach li yarka, v'lo ba tirus yach li yarka. Rav Chista says, different points in my life. I was poor, I was rich. When I was poor, I didn't eat too much vegetables. When I was rich, I didn't eat too many vegetables. Vaniyusi mishum de garir. When I was poor, I didn't eat too many vegetables, because I didn't want it to wet my appetite, and then I wouldn't have anything to eat. Vatirusei damina hechad aliyarka leil bisra. And when I was wealthy, I didn't eat too many vegetables, because I figured, why waste the stomach space on vegetables? I might as well eat meat. I could fit meat in that space in my stomach. So is this sounds advice? And if you ask any nutritionist, this is not very sound advice. They always say, take a little bit of meat off the plate, or a little bit of something else off the plate, and put some vegetables there, and then you'll have a more balanced meal. A little bit of meat, a little bit of vegetables, whatever. So most of the Achronim understand that this is not, he's not just stop giving dietary advice. I don't know what the common wisdom at the time was in terms of dietary advice, but that's not what he's really talking about. The Eitz Yosef quotes from the Sefer Iye Hayam to ask, Rav Chista says later on, Hay Maida Efshar Le'Lemechel Nama Desari V'Achol Dechiti Over Mishum Baltashkes. He's the same guy that says later on that if a person can eat barley bread and he eats wheat bread, he's in violation of Baltashkes. But so when he was in his Ashirus, Lo Chash Lehadiyarka Migra Gara Machilo Lechem Harbe Im Kain Lama Lo Achol Yarka. Meaning if why wouldn't he eat vegetables when he was wealthy if he had plenty of bread to fill in? Vol Yavra Lav De Baltashkes B'Machol Bisri V'Kavri, and it's not going to be a violation of Baltashkes on the uh, on, on the foods. So he says maybe he says ve'efshar de lav de baltashkus lechem harbe adif lemi baltashkus to bisur bekarvi. Maybe the baltashkus of a lot of bread is worse for him than the baltashkus of bisur bekarvi. Okay, but that's all assuming that this is all about about food. So the Sfasema says, yeah, it's about food, but you have to understand that it's about the power of different types of food. That some food helps you, basar and dagim, give a person a koach on a certain level, and bread is only litanug, and it's understanding the different values of the different food. But others, I think some sofer is a whole thing. This is all about Torah. None of it's about food. It's all about Torah. Person, if he says that I don't want to fill my stomach on vegetables when I could be having meat. So meat, the Gemara throughout Shas, we always refer to meat as valuable Torah, as like the meat and potatoes of Shas. That the Gemara says that the Talmidim didn't want to go learn by Abaye because it was dry bones when they went to learn by Abaye. But they go learn by Rava, it's basar sumki, it's like red meat that they're learning by Rava. It's really geshmak of learning. So maybe this is along the lines of what the Nefesh HaChaim says when it comes to Bittul Torah, that we often think of Bittul Torah in terms of just time, that there's Bittul Torah Bekamus, that a person sits down and watches a ball game for 4 hours, so that's whatever, that's Bittul Torah. But what if a person could be learning Gemara, and instead of learning Gemara, he reads something much lighter, he just, instead of learning any Gemara, all he reads is Kiddush Shulchan Aruch or something, so that's also Bittul Torah in a sense. It's a harder Bittul Torah to give Musar about, but that's also Bittul Torah, because it's a person has to use the maximum of his potential in terms of his brain power to be able to learn Torah. So maybe that's the point, that I don't want to fill up whatever room I have for meat, whatever room I have for the stronger Torah, I don't want to fill it up using the weaker stuff, using the yerek, using vegetables. Says Mar Vikavri, Amar Vikavri, Bishra Vikavri. I always want to be able to fill it up with meat and fish. That's better than filling up with vegetables. Vamar Vikavri, Ravdil, and Fisha Le Rifta. If a Barbi Rav doesn't have a lot of bread, Lo Liftsu Bitsui, he shouldn't be Botseya on the bread, because he's he shouldn't take a little bit at a time. He should rather save up and have a reasonable meal all at one time. A barbe rav who doesn't have a lot of bread shouldn't be botzeh my taima to lo avid ba'ein yafa, because he's not going to do it ba'ein yafa. He's not going to be generous if he's dividing up the portions amongst everyone at the table. You don't want to take a guy who's hungry to be the one in charge of dividing up the portions, because he's always going to worry about himself. He's going to worry that he's not going to give out good portions to everybody. Vamrav chista aname yikar lo avayi patsana ad shadai yad bekule mana. He says, I originally would not be Botseya until I checked out the entire kli and make sure that I had everything I needed in there. And only once I was sure that I had enough for everything I needed, only then would I start dividing it. If a person is able to eat barley bread, and instead he chooses to eat wheat bread, which is a much higher level bread, that's a violation of baltashkus. If you could have made it on a lesser food, so it's baltashkus to use up the better food when you didn't need to use up the better food. Right? Sa'orim we always assume is Meichel Behema. That's the Mishnah Masecha Sota. The Mishnah says in Sota that the reason the Sota's karban is made out of Sa'orim is because Ma'aseha Maisa Behema, so karbana is Meichel Behema. So that's, and it's even more Meichel Behema than, let's say, the Omer, which is also made with Sa'orim, but that's finely ground Sa'orim. The Sota Sa'orim is very coarse. So anyway, but that would be baltashkus if you can get away with less and a person chooses to do more. So this is part of the 13 bits of advice that Rav Chista gives to Talmidei Chachamim and to other people. V'am Rav Papa, Haiman de Efshel Mishti Shichra V'Shasi Chamra. If a guy could drink beer and instead he chooses to drink wine, over Mishum Baltashkus, it's a violation of Baltashkus. V'lav Milsi, but that's not really true. Baltashkus to Gufa Adif, because at some point you have to start thinking about what's better for your body, and the Baltashkus of a person's guf is a more important consideration than the Baltashkus of the wine or the beer. So he has to do what's best for his body. The second time we had that in this Masechta, we just said it recently. V'amar Rav Chista, Barbe Rav de Lesbe Mashcha Nimshi B'mayet de Charitzi. A Barbe Rav who doesn't have any oil, so he should use the water from pits Vamrav Chista Barbe Rav de Zavin Umtsa, a Barbe Rav who buys meat, Lisbon Unka de Ispe Tlasamine Bisra. If you want to buy one cut of meat, it's always best to buy the from the neck of the animal, because there are three types of meat in the neck of the animal. It's like three different cuts of meat. So you could be Yotze Mishloch Manos and more just by giving the neck of the animal. You have all these different types of meat. I don't know if you could. No? Okay, Vamrav Chista. Vamrav Chista Barbe Rav de Zavin Kitunisa. If a Barbe Rav buys a linen garment, Lisbon mid Nahar Abba v'nichvara kol tlasin yomin. He should buy it from Nahar Abba and he should clean it every 30 days. The miftia le treser yachi shasa. It will fill his needs for 12 months. Va'na'ar va'na'al, take responsibility for that advice. I guarantee it that that's going to work. You'll have enough. You'll have the linen garment will last you for a year, which is apparently a good amount of time for a linen garment to last you for. Maiki tunisa. Kita na'a. What's the lashon kitunisa? It means keeping good company. That you have this garment and you'll be able to keep good company. So Vamrav Chista Barbe Rav de lo leisav atzifta chadita de mechal yamane. A Barbe Rav should not sit on a new mat because it will ruin his clothing. Vamrav Chista Barbe Rav lo lishtar money lo shpize lechavrei le de lav orach ara. A Barbe Rav should not send his clothing to his host to clean it for him, because that's not derech eretz. Because maybe the host is going to see some sort of stain on the clothing, Rashi explains, carry, and it's going to be disgusting to the host. The host won't be able to look at him the same way anymore when they see that that he became a bal carry on the clothing. Amlu Rav Chista Lebinte, Rav Chista would tell his daughters, Tavit tzniyasan be'ape gavreichu, you should always be tzanua in front of your husbands. Lo tichlun nahama be'ape gavreichu, you shouldn't eat bread in front of your husbands, says Rashi, pam tochel harbe v'tiskana lav, because sometimes you'll overeat and it will look disgusting to your husband. Lo tichlun yarka b'leile, you shouldn't eat vegetables at night, says Rashi, me'reich ha'peh, will give you bad breath. Lo tichlun tamri b'leile, you shouldn't eat dates at night. Lo tishtun shikra b'leile, nor should you drink beer at night, because it's mishalshal and it's maybe the afacha, so there's gonna, you're gonna become gaseous. Vlotifnun hecha demafni gavreichu, and you shouldn't go to the bathroom in the same place where your husbands do. Vchikakari abave inish lotemrun manu, and when you go to when a man comes to the door, don't say who is it in a lashon zachar, as if you're used to speaking to men. Ella mani, you should say it in a lashon nekeva, as if you're assuming that anyone would be coming to your door. That would be a woman, that you're used to speaking to women, not used to speaking to men. Nakit marganisa b'chada yaday, v'kora b'chada yaday, marganisa achvi luhu, v'kora v'kavra lo achvi luhu, adimitztaran v'hadar achvi luhu. Then he gave them advice in terms of intimate marital relations, of what to expect and how to to entice their husbands. So let him hold the pearl. He's going to want to hold the pearl in one hand and the kavra b'chada yaday. Meaning, as Rashi says, kishabalaich mashmish baich lisavos laich latashmish vaoches hadadim biyado achas vaacheres hadoso makom. He's gonna hold his hand over the dadim on one end of the body, and he's gonna put his other hand on oso makom of the woman. And he said, and the advice that he gave was that you should let him have access to the dadim right away, but hold back from everything else for a little while to sort of arouse him first, and then hadar achvi lehu, and then you'll be able to have tashmish in the normal way when he's fully aroused. So that was the advice that he gave to his daughters. What's the lesson from this Gemara? That these are things that the Gedolei Amoraim spoke to their children about, to tell them that, you know, what to expect and what and to give them advice on these issues as well, not to let them walk in blindly. Ein shalin asakarshinin. One should not soak cress. So masnisin deloki aitana. Our mission is assuming not like the following tana. D'tanya Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer in mashkichin bekavra kol ikir, that we don't use a sieve at all. So our Mishnah says not that way. Our Mishnah is a little more permissive on that level. So let's just see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, zak the Mishnah. You let us sweep dirt from a feeding trough that's used by an ox that's being fattened for slaughter. Right, mefate means to fatten the ox for slaughter, and you let it move food over to the side so it doesn't get ruined. That's Rabbi Dosa Shita. The Chachamos and the Chacham say you're not allowed to do either of these things. You're not allowed to sweep the dirt from the feeding trough, nor you let it move over the food from one side to the side of the feeding trough. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to take from in front of one animal and move it in front of another animal on Shabbos, and the Gemara is going to explain that we could take food from in front of a donkey which doesn't drool and is not so picky about its food, and put it in front of an ox that drools and is very picky about its food, but not the other way around, from in front of an ox and put it in front of a donkey, because then the food will already be ruined by the drool and will be considered mukta, so you wouldn't be allowed to move it in the other direction. That's what the Gemara is going to explain tomorrow. We'll see about that last line of the Mishnah. But Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Bayilahu tomorrow.